The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello, what do you want?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What do you want from me? I think my Alexa is stalking me. You know that little Amazon thing, the Alexa app? I think it's stalking me. Sometimes, for no reason at all, the little Alexa machine will start conversations with me and ask me about my personal hygiene. That's not right. I wonder what Alexa looks like. Does she have a body? Is she just a robot? Is that somebody's voice who actually exists? I don't know. Welcome to the program anyway. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. Okay, that's enough. By the way, in case you're listening to the show for the first time, that's Jason Shaw, who does the music for this program, the original music. He's an amazing man. And then John Shanahan does the comedy commercials and the introductions and all that kind of stuff. He's an amazing man. And then Nicole Reed is the British person that you hear. She also books many of our national interviews that we do on this program, O Latino. So that's Nicole Reed. She's an amazing man. There are also rules and regulations, if I could even say it. There are also rules and regulations to listening to this program. Oh, no, you can't just listen to this show and expect not to have rules and regulations. Everything in life has boundaries, don't you know that? Well, even on this show, we have boundaries. I know it doesn't seem like it, but we do. So here's some of the rules. You've got to listen carefully, otherwise this is not going to work.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
No, don't do that.
Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show.
I think they all will.
Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program.
Absolutely.
The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux.
True.
Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time.
Absolutely.
The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day. But even then, please refrain from loud conversation as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
All right. Are we cool? All right. If so, on the bottom of your screen, there's a little disclaimer thing. Click the I agree to all of Ron's terms and to hand over my firstborn. Oh, actually, don't do that. The last thing I want is your firstborn. or any of your borns. I don't want them. They're yours. You keep them. Can you imagine that in the days of yore, not my days, your days, way back when they had kingdoms and castles and stuff, and when Jesus was roaming the earth? I don't know if those two things existed at the same time. I'm not sure. And dinosaurs. They would make deals with people, and they would say, yes, I will build you a house, but you have to give me your firstborn. What a stupid bargain that is. Man, can you imagine someone coming to you and saying, I'll build you a house for free. All you have to do is give me your firstborn. You got a deal, man. You got a deal. So you can have my second born, my third born, my fourth born, but I get a free house? Yeah, sure. They say that's the devil's thing. You know, it's not. It's not. They're just trying to do you a favor. They're trying to take your kids off your hands. That's all they're trying to do. That's like permanent daycare. Oh, my God. Why wouldn't you go for that? Of course I'm kidding. Stop it. Cut it out. It's a joke. I'm trying to be lucidly funny. If you can't appreciate that, then just don't say anything. just be quiet. You know, that is one of the rules of the show. If someone's listening to the program and you're talking in the background, you're going to ruin everything. So don't do that. Just keep quiet. Keep it quiet. I movie theaters are, of course, temporarily closed because they ran out of popcorn. No, it had nothing to do with anything other than the fact that they all ran out of popcorn. That's the only reason a movie theater would ever close. You know that's true. I always ended up sitting next to somebody who either smelled, reeked of body odor like you wouldn't believe, or breathed real loud, you know, just not even sleeping, just awake breathing. You could hear them breathing a lot. Or just people that wouldn't stop talking. They just wouldn't stop talking. Everything that happened in the movie theater, there we go. Did you hear that? Can you believe that just happened? Shut up. I'm trying to watch the movie. Just shut up. Shut up.
Shut up!
You two guys.
Shut up!
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They used to throw me out of the movie theater because I'd be yelling shut up so much that I was making the noise. It was terrible. Why is movie theater food so engaging? Just like barbecue food. Got a big holiday coming up this weekend. Look at you with your fancy holidays coming up this weekend. Oh, look at you celebrating a holiday. Ooh, you and your fancy pants and your big holiday. Ooh, look at you. All right, that's enough. It's the same as movie theater food. It's the same as ballpark food, is outdoor barbecue food. It doesn't really matter what you're eating. The fact is that you're eating it wrong, you know. In a movie theater, you're watching a movie and you're having a hot dog, usually a Nathan's hot dog, which happens to be an excellent hot dog, by the way. If you're going to kill yourself, you might as well kill yourself with the most decadent, wonderful hot dog, and that would be Nathan's. And popcorn and soda. I mean, I don't get me wrong, but I don't think there's any salads there. You know, it's all junk crap food. Let's go watch a movie and fill our faces with junk crap. Then we can go to the candy concession and just shove candy and caramel down our throats. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is about movies, but people just figure, I'm going to watch a movie, so I might as well die. But then you get to the outside activities, and it doesn't matter what you're eating. The fact is you're just eating the food outside. That's the exciting part. Did you ever do a barbecue? No? Oh, well, then I can't talk about this. You have? Okay. If you ever do a barbecue and it starts to rain outside, so you're doing the hamburgers and the hot dogs and all that stuff on a grill, and then you take it inside and you sit down at a table and you eat it. Okay, nice, but fine. But when you barbecue outside on a nice day and then you sit down at a table outside with the birds and the bees and the mosquitoes and you start eating the food that spoils immediately upon contact with the sun, that for some reason is amazing food. That is like, whoa, this is fantastic. No, it's not fantastic. It's just the fact that you're eating it outside. That's all it is. It's like when you go to a ballpark and you have a hot dog or a beer that costs $25. It's not the food. It's the fact that you're eating it outside amongst other people. That's what makes food taste good. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. You know, you think I say a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense? I'm serious. I'm serious. Am I losing you for some reason? I'll hold up a picture of a puppy.
Aww.
I got you back. They're opening up zoos this weekend all across the country. They're reopening the zoos. I guess they found some popcorn. That's the other joke, and it doesn't make any sense. They're opening up the zoos. It's bad enough that we got to be careful. Now the animals got to be careful. I mean, God, you know, can you imagine a monkey in a monkey house and all these people start coming up to the cage? The monkeys will probably say, hey, that's your guy's problem. You stay away from us. Stay away from us. Don't feed me. I don't want to touch you. It's funny. I've been saying all my life to other people, I don't want to touch you. And people have been saying that to me. Ron, I don't want to touch you. And now they've all come my way. Ron, you know, when you were growing up and you said, I don't want to touch you, and people said to you, I don't want to touch you, that was amazing. How did you know this was going to happen? Well, I just knew. I just knew. I just knew. one of my talents, I just know these things. Yeah. Okay, fine. I have some great stuff coming up toward the middle of the program and toward the end and all that stuff, and it's going to be entertaining for you and for me as well. In the meantime, are you comfortable? I spend a little bit of time on every show showing my concern for you and my great love and disdain for you. As I've said so many times, no other talk show host takes the time in the middle of a program to say to their listeners, how are you doing? And to have an actual conversation with them, even though you're not here. I can't see you. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you live. It's a perfect relationship. And I try to have conversation with you because, to be honest with you, nobody else really cares about you as much as I do. And that is not true at all. So I ask you very sincerely, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. And what did you do yesterday? You did? Wow. I'll have to try that. How long did you do that for? Really? That's a long time. So how are you feeling? Yeah, me too. Me too. Me too. Yeah. All the time? Yeah. Just when you walk. Yeah, me too. Me too. But it went away like later in the day. Did yours go away later in the day? No. You still have the rash? What are you doing about it? Really? And you put it on yourself? That's amazing. I'll have to try that. No, my rash is still there. Yeah. Yeah. How long have you had yours? Ooh, that's a long time. That's a long time. Is it going away? Oh. Huh, okay. Really? Seriously? Get out. Get out of here. You can't be serious. Oh, you are serious. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I didn't know. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't know you were serious. Oh my God, don't cry. Don't cry. I didn't mean to make you. Well, I kind of did. I kind of did, actually. Well, it's great talking to you again. Yeah, you take care too. All right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. All right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, you too. No, you. You too. You take care. You too. You too.
We're drinking with Mr. Shanahan, drinking on the phone. Drinking with Mr. Shanahan, so he don't have to drink alone again.
Yes, it's time for Drinking with Mr. Shanahan. It's become a staple. And Mr. Shanahan joins us now. Hi, John.
Hi, Ron. And people, please never drink staples.
Don't try this at home.
It's not good for you.
No. We start off this segment, of course, with that theme song. I'm going to tell you another true story, and this is how much that song is in my head. I was actually watering the lawn today. My young lady decided to plant flowers at quite an expense of the flowers. So she plants and she says, "Would you water the lawn?" I said, "Okay." I didn't know you were handicapped, but okay, I'll water the lawn. And as I was watering, I was singing to myself, "And now I'm watering with Mr. Shanahan." That song is driving me nuts.
You know, you can put almost any verb in there, and you know, it's still damn catchy.
It's damn catchy.
And now we're murdering hobos with Mr. Shanahan.
That's funny. Okay. The title of the segment is Drink with Mr. Shanahan. The original concept was that we would both have drinks while we were doing this, and I'll ask you what you're sporting today.
Well, I think we're going to start this week actually with finding out what Ron is drinking today, because we sometimes overlook this. So either it's nothing or it's more vodka.
But that's not the name of the segment.
This is true.
Yeah. So
okay, nice dodge, though.
Well,
no glass in your hand. Well, Ron, yes. This evening, I'm actually drinking another one of those wines that I think a lot of people don't know about, and I didn't know about it until recently. It's a little wine from Austria, and it's called Gruner Veltliner.
Okay.
Gruner Veltliner. It's nice.
It's a strange. Does that translate into something?
Well, I am led to understand that Gruner is German for green, and it does have a slight pale green yellow hue to it,
really,
which is very nice. Veltliner, I think, means murders a hobo.
Okay.
It's one of the, again, when I go wine shopping, it's like, I really must find myself a saucy little Sauvignon Blanc today, preferably from the Loire Valley. I walk around and I go, hey, that's $12.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's pretty much it. And I do kind of look for things that I haven't tried before, and I've opened myself up to a lot of very interesting wine, and one of them happens to be Gruner Veltliner.
Wow.
Also a famous actress in the 50s. You remember those Attack of the 50-Foot Woman? Gruner Veltliner was the actress. I was a teenage Veltliner. That was her, too.
Sounds like an act from Cabaret.
Ladies and gentlemen, willkommen, Gruner Veltliner.
Exactly. No kidding.
Willkommen beyond the new welcome. Ah, great. Now we owe them royalties.
Yeah, well, what the hell. I'll split it. I'm drinking a flavored vodka. It's a vanilla vodka.
Oh, my goodness. You do have a drink.
Yeah, I do have one. Yeah.
A vanilla vodka?
Vanilla vodka. About half a glass of that, and then water on top of it. I water everything down, including my life.
Are you an ice man with your vodka?
Oh, yeah.
Gotta have it a little chilly.
I can't. I don't like room temperature anything. I like things either hot or cold. If it's a beverage, yeah, nothing in between. No.
Very nice.
Yeah. If it's in between, either I didn't drink it fast enough or I didn't drink it fast enough.
There is that.
Yeah. Well, good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. How are things going?
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, and actually, I got to say, I had kind of an interesting thing occur, and as podcast hosts, we can talk about these things. I don't know how you measure your audience or by what metrics you have or kind of what standard for you, but I do know that with mine, the Hypnagogue podcast, yes. Find it through all your favorite podcast getting things.
Certainly.
TuneIn, Spotify, Podbay,
everything.
Pod Paradise. My podcast lives places that I didn't put it.
I know.
I don't know how that works, but you know, I'm happy it's out there.
Yeah, no, that happens, and that's a good thing.
So
yes,
and I know through my metrics off of my site,
yes,
that when I release an episode,
yes,
in the course of about a week, when it comes out, I can expect 500 to 600 downloads. That's average. Uh-huh. That's pretty average.
Uh-huh.
So recently I saw this big spike in one particular episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that a lot of people had been referred to the site by there's an author, a well-known author. He does a lot of comic book writing, has also done several movies, a guy named Warren Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew for a while that he had that he was a fan of my show, or at least a listener to my show, because I had seen people coming from his site before, and I'm like on a list of podcasts that he listens to. You know, it's just the thing that he kind of threw onto his site. You know, here's a list of things. Go listen to this crap.
Uh-huh.
So apparently, the other week, actually right around May 14th, as I recall, he specifically tweeted out or put on this bloggy thing that he has about how much he was enjoying my 296th episode, Hypnagogue Podcast 296.
Uh-huh.
In the course of the next 2 days, 1,600 people
really
came and downloaded just that show. And it wasn't like I could attribute it to some kind of like weird like glitch in the numbers, or like, you know, that something twitchy had happened. It was specifically Hypnagogue Podcast 296. In the course of 2 days, it like outpaced everything for the rest of the year.
Very nice.
Like 1,600 episodes, you know, 1,600 downloads.
Yeah.
How awesome is that, right? So, you know, you kind of think to yourself, wow, well, that must mean my audience is about to grow like crazy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch these numbers.
I know.
297. No real downloads.
Yeah.
298. No real downloads. Yeah. 99. No real downloads. How about number 300? A big one for me. 300 mm-hmm. episodes for me is a friggin' miracle. Because I don't do anything 300 times.
Right.
Except, you know.
I understand.
Murdering a hobo.
Right. I love that.
No rise there.
Yeah.
And so I got this, I had this very interesting sensation that for a very brief shining moment, this thing that I've been doing for 11 years now,
yeah,
people outside suddenly sat up and took notice.
Finally.
And they found it, and they listened, and then they went, fuck it.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think it was, I don't think it was that. I think it, guests and certain things bring people, and then one assumes if that many people have been brought, then I have introduced this to that many people, and they shall stay forever.
Naturally, then, because how can they resist our ineffable
exactly
charms?
That's the point.
I mean, the flow of my music, the mellifluous tones of your voice, and those fascinating guests with bowel obstructions.
I don't know. Well, thank you for recognizing that, but that's because, as I've said 1,000 times, the human race are a bunch of idiots, and it's pretty much where it stands. You know, I tell you.
I would agree.
I tell you.
It's a very interesting thing. Like, you know, as an entertainer, because obviously, you know, what you want is you want people to pay attention to what you do. Like, nobody creates in a vacuum. We don't throw this shit out into the void.
Correct.
Like, admittedly, for me, I mean, doing my podcast is kind of a form of therapy. And like during these interesting times in which we find ourselves,
mm-hmm.
I've been doing a lot of them because it's very calming to me to, mm-hmm. you know, to sit in my office and find, you know, music that goes together nicely. And, and then again, to, you know, pretend to be a DJ for a while, which is, you know, my frustrated career ambition.
Oh.
And I know for you, it's the thing that you, like, you get up in the morning and you do your show.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost, you know, to a degree, it's like, well, I'm going to do this anyway. But wouldn't it be nice if people were actually listening?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I should say, not that any of my listeners are listening to this at the moment, but like, I'm glad for the number of listeners that I have.
Uh-huh.
But boy, seeing 1,600 downloads of an episode, that was pretty cool.
It's exhilarating until the next day.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, well, it is.
A couple of years back, mm-hmm. When I was maintaining a blog,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't do anymore because no one needs to know what I'm thinking, I happened to write one. I have a particular allergy against people spreading disinformation on the internet.
Oh, really?
It irks me that we have this fantastic, multi-billion-dollar, incredible invention that contains all of the world's information, and we use it to spread stupid shit and lies and things we didn't bother to check.
Correct.
And it makes me crazy. And so it was one of those things where as a writer, I was moved to write about it. Let me talk about why this irks me. I had seen something on the web and it just set me off. And so I just started writing it. And, I threw it up on my blog. I didn't really think anything of it. Now, my blog would normally get 30 readers, maybe. Again, same kind of thing as my show. I have a lovely little core audience out of that. Well, WordPress decided to put it on their freshly pressed page, which is like their front page. They decided it was worth, like, everyone should read this. Here, take this. Cool. And all of a sudden, and I log on to my numbers, and I sit there for the next 3 days as I watch this thing blow up.
Yep.
And like 5,000 people come to my site.
Incredible.
And they read this post, and people are leaving comments on the post. I'm getting into discussions with them, and 5,000 people. And it's one of those moments where you go, man, finally, I've been sitting out here writing, and now, boy, I really hooked them with this one. Let's watch those numbers grow. Yeah, no.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
the next blog post, 30 people.
Yeah. That's the way the internet works. It's because it involves human beings and their perceptions, and that's where we start falling short.
And we all pretty much have the attention span of a bug fart.
Yeah. Well, you see
and not a particularly gassy bug
not at all.
There it goes.
Here's
that bug kind of cracking his leg at the restaurant, making sure the waiter's not around and like one spank off the side of the chair.
Oh, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you would figure that during this particular social experiment that we're all going through, where a lot of people aren't working and such and are going crazy trying to find something to do, that the numbers would go through the roof because the excuse is, I don't have time to listen. That's not the excuse anymore. So that's when it becomes most perplexing. During those times, it's like you say to the wife, let's have sex. And she says, some other time I'm busy. Busy doing what? You're not doing anything. You can't go anywhere. I'm all you have. Yeah, but I was going to go brush my teeth. Come on.
Brush them after.
Brush them after. Yeah, actually, before would be better, but
And the other thing that's happening now too, and it's funny how it took a situation like this to make this happen. It's like now suddenly we're all about watching our artists perform live on like live streaming from their homes and stuff. Like the technology was always there for these people to do these things, but obviously, it's more lucrative to go out and tour and whatever.
Sure.
But it's like we all just discovered that we can watch musicians perform.
Right.
And I have to admit that I'm kind of guilty of that. But like a lot of the people, in my side of the musical spectrum, the stuff I do on my show, have started doing some of these live streams. Sure. Like there's this guy, Jeff Oster, who is a fantastic flugelhorn player. He's kind of combined sort of a light jazz element with ambient, and like he puts a little extra reverb and echo on his flugelhorn, and he just does beautiful stuff. He does a cover of Bunny Raitt's song "I Can't Make You Love Me," that is one of the most fantastically heartbreaking things I've ever heard. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently is, either by choice or by situation, down like somewhere, I think, on the Gulf of Mexico. And he gets on pretty much every day around sunset. And he just improvises with some backing tracks and this flugelhorn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like one of the most calming, cool things to sit back and watch Oster just play his little heart out as the sun goes down over the Gulf of Mexico. And I'll sit there, I'll watch that all day.
Yeah. Well, you're right. It's funny when this whole thing started and people are doing things from their homes, celebrities and performers, the quality of the video was like really horrible. And then within like 2 weeks, They had studio lighting in their homes. And it was, that was one weird thing. The other is that, oh my God, when celebrities and talk show hosts are doing their shows from their homes, you get to see, these people don't seem to be suffering all that much.
Oh, no, not at all.
I mean, they've got some palatial places that they're doing their shit from their homes. And here we are sitting in a tiny little, like, two-room apartment. The toilet doesn't work, and mm-hmm. I can't even go out in the hallway. I mean, like, wow, you know, this is like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. They used to have that show where you go into these mansions, and you sat there like a dweeb looking at your small screen television, like, I'm like poor.
Yeah, that guy's horrible. That guy's got six pools. He uses really, two of them as toilets.
Exactly. So it's the same thing for me. Celebrities don't show me your home in the background. It's not helping you.
It's kind of like all those old rock songs where, you know, these millionaire rock stars would sing about how hard it was yes. to be a rock and roller. Yes. Like, shut up. Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that their roots were tough at the beginning, but, you know.
Fine. Sing about it then.
Yes, right. I know.
don't sing about it to me, Joe Walsh, you know. My Maserati does 185. Well, that must be nice to have a frickin' Maserati. Yeah, I had one too. As a matchbox car, as a kid.
Sure, who didn't? So come on, Joe. Yeah, it's a very weird thing. I don't know. I'm not sure. I know I don't like it when it gets dark so late. It's not right. You know,
we should let people know we are talking in the early evening, and the sun is starting to go down.
Just starting, it's about 7:40 in the evening Eastern time when we're doing this, which I've just killed the whole.
Synchronize your watches.
I know, and it's still light outside, and it's driving me nuts. It's making me weird, and the sun comes up at 4:30 in the morning. Did you know that? You probably don't even know that.
No, because I'm not getting up to do a podcast at 4:30 in the morning like some idiot.
Yeah, stupid guys who do that. 4:30 in the morning, it starts getting light outside. Man, they're like, this is wrong. Go back to the other things, you know. This is not right.
Give me darkness and gloom. Wrap me in the shroud of night early, like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
As human beings, our bodies get used to certain standards of natural sleep and awakeness, and they keep changing it. Like every day it's a little later, a little earlier. It's like, whoa, choose a time for the thing to get bright and let the sun go away and stop this at the same time every day. I'd be a lot more secure with my life.
You're just coming around to this now that this happened?
Yes, I am. Because I have nothing to do but look out the window and watch the sun do stuff. And now I just found out yesterday you're not supposed to stare into it. So I don't know. I don't know.
I used to just yell at my television set. Now I go out and I scream at the sun. It's fucking me up.
It is. It's not right. You know, choose your time and go with it, man.
Are you day? Are you night?
God, it's driving me crazy. I don't like it.
God damn it, evening. Stop trying to be afternoon. It ain't what you do.
There's a certain order to things, and let's get it going there. Come on.
Well, ever since we started mucking it up with that daylight savings.
No kidding. I haven't saved any daylight. I don't know what the hell that even means.
I had a daylight savings account, and
daylight savings account.
Every night, it just emptied out. It did nothing. I got like no interest.
No interest at all. Nobody's even caring.
Just kind of useless, really. What a scam that was.
Do you ever look at these people who are bank tellers? You know, they're standing behind there. It looks like they just got out of college or high school, and they're thumbing through like thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, I could never take that job. I'd be tempted to put a couple of bucks in my pocket or something.
Oh,
I take toilet paper from the men's room when I'm working at a place, at an office. I mean, how would I handle working in a bank? I don't know.
That occurred to me many times in my youth when I used to manage convenience stores.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'd be out there, you know, every night. Counting out, you know, like the days take, you know, to go make a deposit. And I'm like, you know, 18,000, 19,000. Like, Jesus, I'm like, it's all right here in front of me. Right.
You feel like saying, do you know who you hired? What did you do? What'd you hire me for? What? But of course, I think they would find out, even if they were, you know, 50 cents. But
well, the trick is to make it to the Mexican border before they find out.
Yes. Well, you can't do it when you're living up northeast.
You take that hot teenage cashier behind the counter, get the car, we're going to Mexico.
Exactly. Ooh, good movie. That was a good
You can
movie.
Finish high school later.
Right. Get your GED some other day. Get in the car with me. And I've heard that phrase many times.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right, that's before I murdered a hobo.
That reminds me, when I was...
Ooh, good segue.
Thanks. Well, that could be used for anything you just said, actually. There may be no connection to what you just said. That reminds me, when I was a young adult... I used to hitchhike. I remember being in upstate New York, standing on the side of a highway, putting my thumb out. I don't know what the thumb had to do with anything, but that was the international signal for hitchhiking. And I would get into people's cars with them, and I'm it's every once in a while, whoa, what the hell was I doing? It's just like, how did I even?
Did you go anywhere interesting though?
I don't know. They always put me in a box and gagged me, so I have no idea where I was. It was probably at Niagara Falls because I heard something in the background. I don't know. Sorry. I have no idea.
What would I have to ask, and you can dig into the memory bank.
Sure.
What was your weirdest hitchhiking experience?
Oh, yes. I was picked up by this very attractive woman who was probably not that much older than me. She's probably like 22 at the time or something. Mm-hmm. And I was in upstate New York, and she drove me all the way down to Manhattan. And I actually only wanted to go to Rochester. So, but the trip was fantastic. But in my mind, I thought, oh, this is going to really, didn't go anywhere. That's a true story. Those were the days where you did stuff like that, and it was just normal.
So as you drove past Rochester.
Well, we're going the other direction, yeah.
Oh, you're going the other direction. I was going to say, like, was there a point when you kind of went, probably should say something. Really?
Yeah,
but
yeah, no,
Rochester. Like, because you're getting closer and closer to New York City, like, yeah.
Well, I didn't work out. Anyway.
Maybe those Connecticut license plates should have been a clue. Guess we're going to Bridgeport.
Yeah, I just didn't care at that point. Anyway, that was one of my fantasies that didn't pan out.
There you go.
That's it, babe. I'd ask you what you had for dinner, but I think I could guess at this point.
Oh, yeah? Take a guess.
Lobster tails and filet mignon?
It was lobster heads.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. Nobody eats them. They give them away.
I don't even know.
I would love to go to a restaurant someday, like a good seafood restaurant. Do you have lobster heads? I just like from the frontal lobe forward.
Wow!
And could you leave the mandibles intact? And like, and then sit there with like little lobster claw crackers, like getting at their little jawbones. And you and when people look at you, you just go, "It's where the best meat is."
That's, and they probably believe you.
Sit there sucking on the lobster head.
Yeah.
Although I understand that when you eat, and I never have, when you eat crawfish,
yes,
apparently the meat in the head is actually part of the best part.
The meat in the
there
head.
There is a, oh God, I can't, I'm trying to remember, I think the band was, it wasn't the Radiators. Mm. It was a great, like a Southern rock band, kind of along the lines of Little Feet, Maybe I'm right. It is the Radiators, and everyone can now run to Google and check mm-hmm. this up. Mm-hmm. Check us out. They have a song, which if you don't understand that it's about eating crawfish, sounds absolutely disgusting. It's called "Bite the Head, Suck the Tip."
Yeah, that's.
Bite the head, suck the tip. Wow. You got to find it. It's a great friggin' song, and it is like you bite the head off the crawfish,
yeah,
and then you I guess it's the leg, the tip of the legs is what, like, where you draw the meat out of. But yeah, it's gonna bite the head, suck the tip.
All right, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I will be lying in bed singing, "It's time to bite the head and suck the tip."
Suck the tip. You got to find it, though. I mean, it's a great, like, funky, like, very, very Lowell George kind of little feet, kind of funk thing.
I don't know.
Lobster Heads, which also would be a great band name.
I never understood the crab leg thing. Where, I mean, I know it's very tasty, but there isn't much meat in the leg of a crab.
I don't like any food that I have to work that hard for. I'm not that crazy about lobster to begin with. I don't mind the flavor.
Oh, it's interesting.
But I honestly don't see the attraction. And I know you can get like the lazy man lobster or whatever, but I agree with you completely. I don't want to sit there and have to crack something open, fish the meat out myself to get, you know, a quarter ounce of tasty crab meat. And don't get me wrong, I love crab meat.
Yep.
Crab cakes, eat them all friggin' day. Blue crabs or soft shell crabs, eat them all day. They're great. Mm. But the great thing about soft shell crabs is you don't have to crack them.
I know, but you have to eat the shell, and they're not always that soft. They're not that soft.
It's a challenge.
That's disgusting. I mean, I've had soft shell crabs, and but I really feel like I'm just eating crabs. I mean, it's not right. It's just
I'm eating shell.
Yeah, I'm eating an entire. I'm picking up an entire animal and eating it. It's just who does that? I mean, usually you. I don't eat a whole cow. I don't start with the tail and end up in the head area. I mean,
Where do you stand on oysters?
I don't stand on oysters.
Too heavy.
Too soon. I love oysters, but I didn't as a child. But as I grew older, I guess I started liking them. I don't know why.
I got to tell you, I am a lifelong New Englander.
Yeah,
I've lived here my whole dang life. Yeah. I ain't never lived nowhere else. Yeah. I am closed in on 58 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I ate an oyster,
yep,
last year. Don't need to go back.
Oh, interesting.
I was at a wedding, and a very lavish wedding. Oh, yes. My goodness. Uh-huh. We have relatives who are rather well-to-do. And so there's this humongous, all-on-ice raw bar. I mean, complete with a freaking ice sculpture at one end. Mm-hmm. Yeah. La-di-fucking-da.
Yeah.
And there's all these oysters. And I was like, I've never had them, but you know what? They're free. And free happens to be my favorite flavor of everything.
Yeah. Tasty.
I'm like, you know what? If I don't like them, it's not on me. Like, I'm not out of anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to go try me some damn oysters. I felt like I just kind of like hucked back like a really cold snot.
So exactly what they look and taste like. Well, they don't taste like that. They look like that. It's the consistency thereof. Yes. You know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I kind of went, and it was one of those things like you want to. I wanted it to be that moment where I went, oysters, where have you been all my life?
Yeah.
What have I deprived myself of all these years? And I went, I need something to drink.
Yeah.
I need to wash this snot out of my mouth.
I understand. It's not for everybody, but when you acquire the taste, it's just it's okay. I don't think anybody goes crazy over it. You know, anything.
I must beg to differ in that,
because
I have I know some people that are like, I mean, just mad for oysters.
Really?
Like every place they go, the first thing they want to know is if there are oysters on the menu.
Yeah.
Like there's a place down, you know, the beach not far from us that they did. I guess in some places you charbroil your oysters till they open, and it gives them like a smokiness.
Interesting.
And they were like, "Oh my god, this is the greatest thing! You have to try this." I'm like, no, it's like burnt snot.
It is, yeah. I mean,
now it's like snot that you get from a smoker. Yeah. There's no real difference.
Well, you're supposed to put cocktail sauce on your snot.
Well, you're supposed to put a lot of different things, like people. Some people like the mignonettes.
Yeah.
Which is like a little, you know, mix of things, and you know, people. Oh, you gotta get like put a little bit of bacon on there, a little champagne in the whatever.
So an oyster
is still a big booger.
Well, it is. Well, the oyster becomes nothing but a plate for the stuff you put on it. Really, is exactly what you're saying. You introduced me to something that I never had again.
Anal sex? Wow, that's going to get edited out or bleeped or something. And it's the best joke of the whole show.
No, that's probably going to go in the title.
Excellent.
Yes. It was a place in Whitman, Massachusetts, and people don't know where that is. It's real close to hell. No, it's not. It's a really nice little town. It's a sleepy town. Everybody's sleeping. Not this time of day because the sun's still up. But anyway.
You're going to get to the point at some point? Or
What was I talking about? So
he's going to kick Whitman around a while.
You took me to this place on the main drag, and we were sitting there, and you ordered as an appetizer fried pickles.
Oh yes,
and I looked at you, and I looked at the menu, and I thought he set up this joke to the point where he had him printed on the menu. He goes a long way to make a joke, but apparently it was true. And they came, and I tried one, and I could not figure out why in the world a pickle would be fried and people would actually order this. And to this,
you were not a fan, or
no, not at all.
I love them.
It took away from, I like a nice, cold, crisp pickle, and it's the consistency of the pickle that helps that little cucumber thing come along, and this just killed all of that, and I could not figure that out.
I think that, much like our friend the snotty oyster,
yes,
the fried pickle becomes something of a delivery system for what's around it. The pickles in question that you had mentioned.
Yes.
I didn't mind them there, but the thing that they did at that place was that they took a dill pickle spear, and then they bred it and then threw it into the deep fryer. Okay. And there's too much pickle in that.
I see.
Because when you try to eat those, what typically happens is that the breading is just around the pickle.
Okay.
It doesn't really adhere to it, so you bite into it the first time, the entire blazing hot pickle comes out of the breading.
That's what I'm talking about.
And now all you've really got is a blazing pickle and an empty shell of vaguely pickled flavored breading.
All right, now I have to ask you, what is it supposed to be then?
My favorite fried pickles are when they do it like little, almost like bread and butter pickles. Like little coins of pickle.
All right.
So that, you know, the breading actually kind of adheres to the pickle. They're small enough, you can just kind of pop it in your mouth.
Yes.
And you get that whole experience. You get the sourness of the pickle. You get, you know, the crunch of the breading and whatever they put into it. There's a place near me now that they make their own pickles in-house. Mm-hmm. And my wife is a huge fried pickle fan. Actually, as a matter of fact, we ordered some takeout last night, and they had... She ordered a thing of fried pickles, and I sat there and devoured them like they were candy. But this other place near us, they made them, and like we got an order and we're eating them. We're like, it's one of those things where you probably do this because you're a food person, where like flavors pop up and you're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
Like I need to identify. This is fantastic, but like, and you're trying to figure out like so many things. So like, what's going on? And they actually put a little bit of cinnamon in their batter that they breaded it with.
For a pickle?
Yeah. And it sounds weird.
Yeah.
They are the best fried pickles I've ever had.
I guess I'll give it another shot. I mean,
there's another place. There was a barbecue place that, again, in their batter, probably a little bit of cayenne and paprika in the batter.
All right.
So now you're getting a little kick of spice.
I can see that.
And I think that place, too, they had like a remoulade, like a spicy mayonnaise to go with
that's
it.
That's nice.
So now you've got like all these things kind of coming together. I have to say the place that you and I got them pickles,
yes,
not my favorite.
Okay.
I like them,
okay,
but they're not the best. You need a smaller pickle so that you can just get the whole experience in one and you don't worry about your pickle escaping from the breading.
We're still talking about food, right?
Nope.
Oh, boy. All right. This is what this is about, to learn and to experience life, even if it's represented by oysters and pickles.
Exactly.
That's what I said. This has been fascinating. I'm looking forward to the next episode where we can discover even more.
It's going to happen, and people are... Even right now, people are running out to the local tattoo parlors and getting their Drinking with Mr. Shanahan tattoos because this means so much to them now.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Indeed. Well, there was a spike.
And then it went away.
It went away. The Hypnagogue podcast, it is actually hypnagoguepodcast.com. Simple as that.
It is.
And check it out. Check it out. And let's do another spike. Ladies and gentlemen, he's Mr. Shanahan. We've been drinking with him. Cue the theme. Here we go.
Boom!
And now we're drinking with Mr. Shanahan. Drinking on the phone. Drinking with Mr. Shanahan so he don't have to drink alone again.
You bet. Hey, it's been fun today. I'm going to be back again. Oh, my God, I'm coming back again tomorrow? Are you serious? Yeah, for the Friday weekend edition. Oh, my God. So please join me then anytime starting tomorrow. It'll be wonderful. I can't believe it. This is really something. Until then, I wish you peace. Okay, are we done here? Are we done? Great. Thank you. Whoa. Wow.